This podcast may contain holiday language and eggnog-drenched ideas. Listener discretion is jingle.
Welcome to this holiday edition of Writing All the Things,
ho, ho, ho.
Your biweekly home for all things writing instruction, analysis, inspiration, and writing news and trends. Our show is an irreverent guide to writing literary fiction.
Yes, we are irreverent.
We are. It can't be helped. It just can't. I'm Dreema Drudge, author of the novel Victorine and the upcoming, sometime, novel Briscoe Chambers' Southern Fried Wolf.
Yeah.
I'm speaking it into existence.
I feel an agreement in my spirits. And I'm Barry Drudge, co-host and MFA graduate of Spalding University. Former ghostwriter and a songwriter and musician who's worked with Grammy winners in Nashville.
Nice.
I got a story that's coming up soon in the Roundtable Literary Journal, which is a lot of fun. And I'm working on a second novel while I finish up the first novel. Might as well just juggle all the way around.
I'm very excited. Yay.
It is exciting.
Well, let's just dive into some literary news today.
Please do.
And let's
Please do
that. Of course, it's best book list time. Yeah. We're going to focus today on the Times Book Review, and the editors have chosen the best fiction novels of the year.
Yes, they have. So,
drum roll.
Yeah, get your pens and papers out now, or go to the New York Times Book Review 20 top whatevers of the year and make a note as to what to buy. So, the first one is A Children's Bible by Lydia Millay.
The second one is Deacon King Kong by James McBride.
The third is Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell.
I have to jump in here.
Oh, please do.
I really want to read this book. So for those of you who aren't familiar, this is the story of Hamnet, which would be William Shakespeare's son, who died at an early age, 11, I believe. And they say that in the novel, Shakespeare is very much off scene, and they think that's actually a good thing, and it focuses on the family and the loss of this young child, and I'm really intrigued. I'm wanting to get a hold of that.
That is interesting.
And then so number four is Homeland Elegies by Ayyad Akhtar.
Is it a sister to Hillbilly Elegy?
That's a great question. I do not know if that title is meant to evoke that, but that's an interesting... I know you were joking, but I think that's an interesting thought.
I was half joking because I want to... You know, a title is very important to a book. I think we could have a whole episode on that, probably.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. In the future, we'll be having an episode. An epiphone, that's a guitar. And last but not least in the fiction, The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, and that's based on the lives of two twins and one's disappearance.
Ooh, fascinating. Well, I don't know about you, but I have just added some things to my TBR pile. For sure.
Interesting.
Well, and on a more personal writing note, I have done something ambitious this year.
Do tell.
To celebrate my novel, Victorine's, it's Victorine's first Christmas, okay, the novel, and I'm going to pretend like it's hers as well. So starting Monday, December 7th, I'm going to have the 12 Days of Victorine.
Yay!
And that's going to be accessible over on my website, dreamadrudge.com. There will be bonuses, giveaways, some extras. And if you want to participate in a giveaway, you do need to sign up to my newsletter list. It's very easy. There are prompts all over the website that tell you what to do. But if you get stuck, just shoot me an email.
If you can't, you can't win if you can't play. Or no.
That's right.
If you don't play, you can't win. I don't know.
My email is actually dreema@dreamadrudge.com. And while we're on that subject,
please,
it's also not too late just now, in the States anyway, for me to ship you an autographed copy of Victorine. So if you want to order some of those, just also shoot me an email and I'll personalize them to your request.
Yes. It's a great book to have. Two or three, I think. Hand them out to friends. They are life-changing, and Victorine is one of my heroes in literature.
Why, thank you. I'll accept that.
Okay, please do.
Praise.
Today's topic, honey, what is it?
Well, it's the holiday season, and I love the holiday season.
Yes, you do. So do I.
Well, I think it shows in the fact that you and I got married pretty close to Christmas, as close as we could without irritating family and their travel plans, pretty much.
And just as a note on that, this will be our 30th anniversary.
Wow.
This just after Christmas.
Yes.
So if you want to send us a little happy, salutation and congratulation, during this happy year, we wouldn't be adverse to taking that on.
That would be fun. Thank you. Yes. I don't know how this man has put up with me for almost 30 years, but I'm glad he has.
I think it's the other way around.
Aww.
Oh, goodness. But what in the world do you get for the reader and fellow writers in your life other than just books? Feel free to have the gift buyer for you listen to this.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is that those are the people who really need to hear this.
Drag them in. Add to our listener viewing. Listener viewing. Our readership? No. Our listenership. How about that?
There we go.
So what do we get? What do we get?
Well, one thing I'd like to suggest is if we're talking about a writer, what does your writing loved one want to, write about the most? Like, for instance, I write about the arts a lot. So a certain gentleman to my left, to whom I've been married for almost 30 years.
Getting closer.
Knows that if he buys me anything in the artsy-fartsy air or arena, socks, jewelry, painting supplies, which I do dabble, but anyway.
Yes, she's more than dabble. Don't let her
stop.
Undersell it.
I'm going to be totally happy with that. So just think about what is it that, the book lover or the writer in your life really focuses on and think, what can I buy in that area?
That's good. And can you buy a special edition of a book for your reader? Okay, it's still a book. But if you buy a first edition, an autographed edition, or a particularly beautiful edition of their favorite novel, they will love it forever. Okay. We hope that happens even without a book, but it couldn't hurt.
Eternal love.
That's right. How about a cozy writer-reader basket, including a literature-themed mug? The unemployedphilosophers.com has.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
May I interrupt?
Yeah.
I did tell Barry, which he doesn't really need a list from me because he knows what I love. But I said, until I have everything from that store, pretty much.
Pretty much.
I will not rest. So you can just, as long as they keep producing things, you can just keep buying me things from there, pretty much.
Well, we definitely have a lot of characters that are famous in literature, and of course a lot of very cutesy, if you will, versions of artists and writers and painters and sculptors and a lot of figures from history. I mean, there's even philosophers. It's a wide, some politic type things, which, I'm not always thrilled about, but I mean, I'm more interested in the artist aspect of things necessarily. That's just me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you look around our house is, you can see some finger puppets and some dolls, I call them, and mugs and such. And yeah, I would be totally happy to have pretty much everything that they sell.
That's right. So also a nice selection of tea or coffee and hot chocolate. You can't not have hot chocolate unless you're some kind of chocolate intolerant person. Snacks, a pair of warm literature-themed socks.
Got plenty of those.
A journal and a pen. Those never go wrong. I mean, because even if you have 10, eventually you'll use them all if you're a writer.
Or a reader.
That's true. So you take notes and put down thoughts.
Absolutely. I would be very happy to have a basket like that. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
How about a warm throw to cover the legs when reading? There are a variety of book-themed ones out there.
There are some people that get, warmed and fall asleep and they've got their cover on.
Well, there's another sort of, it's not like a hugely expensive item, but it's not cheap either. But I've always kind of wanted a special literary or art-themed umbrella, like the kind you see in museum art stores. But I've never bought one, and I don't know why. I think in my mind it's probably like a holiday gift grade item. And so I keep thinking, oh, I'll just wait. But then I never put it on a list and I never mention it and I never buy one. But I imagine any book or art lover would like really enjoy, you know, if it's going to be rainy out, you might as well have something that you love over top of your head, right?
Oh, that's true. I mean, the closest thing that I've ever bought myself like that was when I was in London. I was out walking about going to the British Museum. And the skies look cloudy, and I realize all of a sudden that on all my stuff, I didn't bring an umbrella, which always bring an umbrella. So I stopped by a very touristy gift shop and bought a 5-pound British sterling, I heart London umbrella. And I used it till it fell apart. We actually threw it away in Edinburgh, and I grieved the loss of it because it was like, I love London, which is true. Anyway. That's a thought.
Yes. Well, and I did look to find you another one, but
you did.
I did, but they were out of stock, and I don't know, like, if I gave up or if they just never informed me if they came back in stock or what. But yeah, I did try to get you another one.
Oh well, you know, there always could be. I love Paris, or I love right. Rome, or I like Florence a lot.
That's right. Another suggestion would be a great reading light, because I read in bed. I don't know about anyone else, but you can either have one of those little clip-on lights for your book, or just a lamp if you're like me and are lucky enough to have someone who's not disturbed by having a light on at all hours of the night.
What?
One of my favorite gifts my mom ever got me was a bedside lamp that I just used until it died. I mean, just used and used that thing. And we have a, should I admit this?
Go ahead.
We have a matching set of Eiffel Tower lamps.
Yeah.
And mine is about kaput. I mean, like, it works, but it was supposed to be like a three-way bulb kind of situation. It's a little strange. So anyway, I'll probably buy a duplicate of it pretty soon.
Unless you want to buy one, folks, for us for an anniversary gift.
Stop.
I'm kidding. Email us for the details of our address.
No.
I'm joking. We don't do that.
But yes, a lamp is always welcome.
Yes, it is.
For readers, that is.
That's right. As a gift, not to us, but your loved ones, reading loved ones. A tree ornament featuring a book or a favorite character. Etsy is particularly good for finding these types of items. But if you want something to be personalized, you're going to need to get on it, because tick, tock, tick.
I know. I have to admit, I spent a lot of time looking at Etsy for,
what?
For Christmas ornaments. And oh, they were the cutest. And I'm just like a felt person.
Mm.
I love felt ornaments. You know, when we first got married, our very first Christmas, I embroidered and stuffed this set of felt ornaments in, but they're these cutest little ornaments on Etsy, but they're like $15, $20, $25 each, and I'm like, maybe we get one a year for a while, right?
Well, we still have them 29 years later somewhere packed away, I'm sure.
I can't find them, but
what?
Yes, I know. I mean, there would have been
they're
no
here.
Reason I would have purposely thrown them away.
Oh no, they're here. They are here. We just have lots of stuff.
But yeah, if you're going to order something from Etsy, like he said, get on it.
That's right. You're gonna need it.
So,
yes.
If you do buy books, and I know we said not just books, so okay, but we are gonna mention a few book things.
Yeah.
Well, consider the gap the reader in your life has in their collection. Like, if they prefer classics, see if you can find newly released books along those lines. Like, for instance, I think it's called Bronte's Mistress by Fiona Austen.
Ah.
And so that's about Branwell Bronte's mistress. And so if the person in your life loves like Wuthering Heights and loves Jane Eyre and, you know, Agnes Grey, they're really going to probably enjoy this book as well. Now, I wanted to throw this to you because I think you do this for me. Am I not?
Am I
correct?
I sure do.
Yeah.
I definitely look at the things you love throughout the year with the things that you're enthused about at that moment. And then I do go out and look at related things. I mean, one of the easiest, I hate to even say this, well, we'll put it this way. We'll kind of be mild. Look at the large companies that have online presences of books. And sometimes they will, if you throw a name in, have everything about that, you know, whether it's jewelry. I've gotten Dream of Virginia Woolf earrings.
Yay.
And pendants and bracelets, and same thing with Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, it's kind of funny. They come from China, so they say they're coming December 13th, and they get here January 20th, but you know, the mail runs slow when it comes by, you know, tugboat. But yeah, it's exciting. I really enjoy that because it's also thoughtful, and it's, I think, you know, it's surprising to the person who opens the gift, and it's like, oh, I didn't know about this, or oh, I wanted this but was afraid to get it myself.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think you said something the other day about that you wanted to make sure that I kind of kept my finger on the pulse of modern books, because I, like, you know, I'm talking about Hamnet, which is modern, and, you know, Bronte's Mistress and that sort of thing, but they certainly harken back.
Oh, yeah, there's a definite chain of history there, or connections. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost like intertextuality.
And in defense of myself, that I don't really need to do, I really do stay pretty much abreast of the most modern, most loudly touted books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Another book buying option, buy books in your loved one's name for their favorite library. Mm. I kind of like that idea. You will want to contact the library directly to see how they prefer to handle that. But if your loved one's bookshelves are overflowing, give this a go.
Oh, I tell you, there are people in our lives that, you know, we love them so much, but they have everything, and you, like, struggle. You're like, okay, I know you have shelves full of books. Mm-hmm. Is there a book that you would really enjoy, or would you just be just as happy if, you know, we asked the library, hey, what's a book on the list that, you know, you would really like to buy? And so I think that's a good option if someone has everything.
Oh, yeah. And like, even for us, I think we've come to the point where we've got bookshelves full of bookshelves. And I think we're running out of places to put bookshelves. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like, do we give up the love seat so that we can put a bookshelf there? I don't know.
I'm thinking we go higher with the bookshelves.
Have them coming down from the ceiling.
Perfect.
That's it.
As long as I
don't bang my head into
them.
Don't
do that.
Are there films or TV series based on the characters your reader enjoys that they haven't seen? Think PBS. You can buy them, either physically or digital copies. And that's an interesting thing in this world that we live in, is that you could probably, on that side of it, give a digital, like a gift card,
yeah,
to a book service or an author, or, yeah, I guess any of that.
Absolutely. I know that you pointed out recently a PBS, I think it maybe was a one-off. I don't think it was a series, but I think it was a, I don't know what to call it, a show. And I looked it up, and I think that's the only way you can actually buy it is physically at this point. I think in the future it'll be offered digitally, but yeah, you can still actually order physical copies of things. Imagine.
I know. What a world we live in. What a world. Wow. So those are some ideas for Christmas gifts. I know that we went down our own personal bunny trails on it, but I think that's just to inspire you to get things like we get things for one another. It's always very exciting. And now we're headed to one of our favorite little moments, you know, in the podcast world. And this is ours, and it's called, Hey,
What You Reading? Well, as sort of seems par for the course with me, I am reading some research books, and at this point I cannot say what they are because I like to be like well along in a project.
Top secret.
But that doesn't mean they won't leak out by accident, but I'll try. But also, my Autumn of Wolf is still on. We are on Orlando, a little behind in that because I'm prepping for the 12 Days of Victorine, but definitely diving in, loving the book. It's a keeper.
I love Orlando.
I know.
I just gone through it for the Season of Wolf, and I really have enjoyed it. We could probably have a podcast about Orlando, but that's, you know.
I like it.
What I'm reading is The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern. This is her sophomore book, her second book. Her first one was The Night Circus, which captured my imagination. I thought, very clever in the fantasy world to have a book like that, and I feel the same with this one. It's a completely different story, different thread to go through, and it's very imaginative. I love imagination.
Who doesn't?
Well, there are those who... We just watched a movie called 84 Charing Cross Road.
Oh my goodness. It was the first time we'd seen it, y'all.
Absolutely. And the real life person from the United States whose name escapes me, the female character.
You said that and you ran her right out of my head.
That's okay. she says in it that she doesn't like to read fiction. She only reads nonfiction. And I'm like going,
I try not to pay attention to that part because otherwise the movie was fantastic.
For those of us that write fiction, the one aspect of it is that you can tell a truth in the middle of a story your way and let it unfold, and it will impact people differently than if you just told the truth head on to them, I think. So that's another thing.
And you can definitely add some nuancing, right?
Yes. So let's go on and talk a little bit about writing instructions. So if you have Hulu, which many, many people do in this world, watch The Man Who Invented Christmas, which is about Charles Dickens and his writing process during A Christmas Carol, how it came to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I thought that was just fascinating. We really enjoyed that the other night.
Yes, we did.
And then we would like to pair that with asking you to listen to Library Talks podcast number 41. This is a tradition and I've started for myself in the past few years, listening to Neil Gaiman read A Christmas Carol. And this podcast is several years old. It was released December 22nd, 2015. And he's reading from the only existing prompt copy, which of course is the one that Dickens himself, you know, annotated.
Wow.
And he, you know, his little acting, this and that, and pauses and such. And so it's fabulous. And I'll, while I'm wrapping Christmas gifts, I'll listen to that. And I'll try to remember to post that with our show notes on writingallthethings.com so you can access both the podcast, or you can just search your, you know, iTunes or what have you to find it.
And on that note, with A Christmas Carol, we were talking about, you know, gifts to get. Another thing to get that people might like who love a specific book based on this is an annotated version of whatever work it is. For example, we were given by an aunt of mine, my aunt Terry, A Christmas Carol, an annotated copy of it, which had original artwork. It had notes about what was going on historically and also in Dickens's thought patterns of the book. So it's really the stories in the center of it, and then the glosses around the sides give you all that other detail.
Hi, Terry. And by the way, we still have it and we love it.
Oh, yeah. We've read it to the kids over and over again.
So many times.
So many times. So just take both of these ideas, the Hulu movie and then the Neil Gaiman, and allow them to work their work in you. You don't have to celebrate Christmas to benefit from watching a writer create. That is so, so true.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. Like, I'm going to pair that in my mind since we've just watched The Man Who Invented Christmas. And when I do that wrapping here in the next few days or next week or whenever I get around to it, next
whenever you get around
days,
to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to listen to Neil Gaiman again because he does a really good job.
Oh, he's an excellent writer. He's got his own genre, if you will, but I think my favorite thing is that he sneaks into airport bookstores and autographs his books. You know, people probably think he's vandalizing or something. I don't know.
I've wondered if he's ever gotten caught. I've wondered, you know, did anyone go, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, stop. So we thank you for listening. Let us know what gifts you enjoy getting. Just give us an email on that. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share our podcast. Subscribe to our emailing list at writingallthethings.com. Contact us at writingallthethings1@gmail.com. Let me say that again just in case I was confusing. Instead of O-N-E, it's the number one. So it's writingallthethings1@gmail.com. Happy holidays. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, keep
writing all the things.
Yay.